Second Chronicles. Now, I am dead dog sure that you know this verse, and we're going to stand and read it together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Let's all stand together. We're going to read that verse, and we'll get to that verse maybe. I know me, and we may not get to it. But I'm going to read it, and this is one of the most famous verses that is ever talked about when it talks about the nation or your people. And here it is. 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Bible says, if my people, what a wonderful little word if is. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. There's a lot of things in that verse you could preach. I would have to say 3 or 4 sermons alone on those few lines. But understand this, I'm interested today in studying what happened coming up to this verse, because something very special just took place before this verse happened. Let's pray this morning. Brother Kataver, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you for the rain, the shine, Father. Thank you for America.
Yes. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. If you look back at chapter 5 and verse 1 in 2 Chronicles, the Bible says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. If you study this just a little bit, and we don't have time to go into everything that happened, because I am amazed when I read over this stuff, I am amazed at the detail that God gave Solomon in building his house. I am amazed at the detail that went into the house of God, and what I've come to realization of, all the wonderful gold and all the wonderful brass and all the beautiful things that Solomon put into God's house and the intricacy of everything that was made. And if you would study that out, it is amazing how wonderfully beautiful it must have been. This is a house that was completely gold. This was a house that was completely beautiful. This was a house that only the best were able to work on. This was a house that only the most skilled were able to put their hands to. This was a house that God had preordained people to work on. This was a house that God had set up and knew that it was going to come. This was a house that God said, this is where I'm going to dwell. Understand, up until this time, God had dwelt in a tent. God had dwelt in a mobile church. God had dwelt in a place. And by the way, it must have been awesome even to see that. And how wonderfully intricate and beautiful that design must have been. But Solomon had been commissioned to do this work. David, his father, wanted to do it. But God said, no, you've been a man of war. I'm going to have it come through your son. Solomon was, as you know, was one of the wisest, if not the wisest man that ever walked the earth. He was one of those men that God had a very special job for. He spent several years doing this between God's house and his house. It took many, many years to get the project done. They didn't have Sawzalls back then. They did not have air nailers. They did not have trucks. They did not have Home Depot. They had to bring that stuff. They had to float logs down the water to get them to the place. They had to put it on the backs of men and on the backs of beasts of burden. They had to take the time to do with their hands the wonderful intricate carvings and the beautiful gold inlays. And how did they even get that done? They hewed the stones in one place, Brother Carl, and they brought them to the temple and set them in place. And glory to God, every one of them fit. Could you imagine putting an American crew on that job? Good Lord, have mercy on our souls. There's no way that the rocks would fit. It would take us 25 years of sanding to get those babies to fit in the right place. God put his hands on their hands, and they brought the rocks ready to fit. The temple's now finished. It's a place where the people can come to and be proud of. It was a place that God had set up. He did not set it up in just any place, mind you. He did not set it up in just any pretty place. He picked Jerusalem. He picked a place that was his place. God picked a place, and it may have confounded people at the time, the place God picked, but understand this, God's not making any mistakes. God decided this is where I'm going to be. And I thought about this. I said, you know, if I had any nation that I would want to support, there's three that I would want to support. The first nation is Israel. Yeah, right. I want to support Israel because me supporting Israel supports my country. I hope you know that. You support Israel, you stand behind Israel and the Jewish people, that stands behind your nation. Because if you bless them, God will bless you. Glory to God. I would want the second nation to be any nation that supports Israel. If you support Israel, I want to support you. And the third nation I want to support is America. Now listen, I did it in that order only because of the fact, not because I'm not patriotic. I want to let you know I want God to bless our country. If you don't have God blessing your country, what do you have? I don't care how strong our military is. If God takes his hand off us, we lose. We lose. So you must understand that the place that they're in is a wonderful place. And I want you to look in chapter 6. This is awesome to me. This is awesome to me to see what's happening before the verses here. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Then said Solomon, the Lord hath said he would dwell in the thick darkness. But I have built an house of habitation for thee and a place for thy dwelling forever. Solomon's heart was in the right place here. He wanted a place where his people could go and meet with God. He thought it was going to be there forever. You know and I know that that didn't happen. Look at what it says here, though. Look at what's happening. I love this. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spake with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. I want you to remember what I've been preaching here for the last little bit. God never desired us to have a man for a king. He's always desired him to be king. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now understand this. From here on out, he gets down to his prayer. Solomon starts to make a prayer. Wouldn't it be great to know what the prayer of the wisest man on the planet would be? Think about this now. This is a prayer that he goes from verse 12, he goes all the way over into chapter 6 at the end, praying. He's praying for his people to understand what they're supposed to do. He comes to a realization in the midst of his prayer that his people will be sinful people. He makes thoughts about what are we going to do when we sin. Look at what this says. Verse 12, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high and set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. Man, I like that start. In the heaven nor in the earth which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants and walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which hast kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him and spake it with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. He goes into this prayer and starts talking about everything that God has done. Now I want you to look. Chapter 7, verse 1, we're getting to it. I may get to that verse today. Because I get a little bit excited when I start reading chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Solomon's praying for his people. Now, you must understand something. If your preacher gets a chance to stand up here and pray, I want you to know this. He prays for you. Can you say amen to me? You must understand something, that the preacher, your pastor, your under-shepherd, it's his job to watch for your souls. And it's amazing how often that your preacher will stand up here or even in his private prayer time will mention your names, will mention your situations by name because he wants you to be a blessed people. Can you say amen this morning? I want you to see something. This is awesome to me. I would to God we'd see this someday. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consume the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. This isn't a story. This really happened. Wouldn't you like to be there for that? Wouldn't it be an awesome sight to be there? Now listen, he built that scaffold so he could stand on it and the people could see him. He got down on his knees as king. Let me explain something to you. He got down on his knees as king in front of the people to pray to his God. I would to God we had leaders that showed themselves prayerful men. We used to have that. We used to have in this country where men would pray in public. Let me explain something. I'm just going to park here for a minute. Don't you be afraid to go out in public and pray. Don't you be afraid to sit at that dinner table when you're out to dinner and pray. Now, I don't mean you got to stand up on the chair and pontificate. What I mean is don't you let them not see you pray. I've had more than one person come to me, it was good to see you say grace. And I often wanted to say to them, well, did you? Hey, listen, I want people to know I'm a Christian. I want people to know I pray to God. I want people to know. I'm glad I got to see in this scripture where Solomon got up on a scaffold so people could see him. I'm glad that the king got up there and said, listen, this is how we're going to be as a country, as a nation, as a people. We're going to be a praying people. I'm going to tell you one of the worst things that happened to our country is we stopped praying. One of the worst things that happened to our churches, is we stopped praying. Amen. When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you asked God for something other than to bless your food? When's the last time you asked for something for God that was for somebody else than you? When's the last time you prayed? Look at what this says. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Wouldn't you like to be there when the people all in one accord worship their God? I'm talking with all the people in one accord. There wasn't anybody sitting out in the congregation couldn't wait for the preacher to stop. There wasn't anybody out in the congregation couldn't wait to get home for the television show. There wasn't anybody out in the congregation looking at some other woman in the crowd wishing he had her. There wasn't somebody out in the... Glory to God, is this preaching this morning. There wasn't somebody out in the crowd that wasn't willing to be there for church. When they were there, brother, they wanted to be in church. When they were there, they wanted to worship God. When they were there, they had something going on, and it was God that day. If my people, listen to me now, when we get to that verse, you're going to understand what was going on. One of the greatest days Israel has ever seen is going on right then. One of the greatest days. It wasn't some revival that fizzled out. the fire of God just came down. And when the people saw the fire of God, they decided, I'm going to worship God. Listen to me. Saturday mornings, there's a fire coming down. There's a fire coming down. I'm glad to see the people coming out for soul winning. There's a fire coming down. We got people that can't wait to pack bags. We got people that can't wait to come in to pray. And listen to me, this isn't because of any people. I hope you get that today. This isn't because we have some fearless leader that's coming in to lead the people out soul winning. They're following God. There's nobody coming and leading this thing. We're just showing up. I wanted to see what happens here. This is awesome. I'm telling you, we could study this for a month and still not get all of it even close. Look at what this says. Worship and praise the Lord, saying, for he is good. And he is good, by the way. For his mercy endureth forever. And it does, by the way. Verse 4, then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. They brought one or two things, right? Look at what this says. Can you look with me what the Bible says here? And the king and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen. 22,000 he offered for a sacrifice. Look at what it says. And 120,000 sheep. Listen to me now. The fire of God came down, and people couldn't wait to give. God made a movement inside that place. The Spirit of God swept across that place, and people couldn't wait to sacrifice to him. Because why? Because he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Look what this says now. And so the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, and the priests waited on their offices. And the Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which they didn't have a rock band there, the music of the Lord. Right. Oh, okay, I got one amen. It wasn't rock music that was there. This was a people that were praising God with their instruments. These are people that were standing before God, realizing what was going on, deciding, we're going to worship him today. Which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord. For there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Let me explain something to you. It was so exciting for that moment that the altar was too packed out to receive any more sacrifice. When God came down, the people with one accord came to church and said, we've got to give something to God. When's the last time your heart welled up inside of you and decided, you know what, I got to give something to God? I don't know about you, but you got to give something to God. Listen, he gave everything to me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your glory to God, you smart people. It's reasonable for you wanting to do something for God. You doing something for God does not get you any better saved. You doing something for God does not get you any better standing with him. You doing something for God is something that you want to do because you ought to do it. It's when we change our ought to do it into want to do it that it becomes sacrifice. Can anybody say amen? I'm glad. I'm telling you, I'm in one of the best churches, if not the best church in the country. And I don't apologize for that. Brother Dave, you don't run 2,000 people. What does people have to do with it? How many people? That makes no difference to me. Glory to God, we've got to realize if you want the fire of God to come down, you better come with a heart that's ready to give him something. It may be your money. I don't know. You have a preacher, I knew he's going to hit on money. What is money? Seriously, what is money that you desire it so much? When God comes down and does something through your life. The problem is, Christian, you don't want him to come down and do something, because you are afraid of the giving up of something. We're afraid of holding on. We're afraid of, listen, Solomon himself, how many did he give? And I know he had everything. Don't misread me. But the people were there that day in one accord with their hearts, worshiping God. Because why? Because he is good and his mercy endureth forever. In America, we've forgotten that. In America, we've forgotten that. Listen, I stopped the other day when we was in Hartville, and I grabbed a man's hand that had a hat on it. He served in Vietnam. And I grabbed his hand and said, "Sir, I want to thank you for serving my country. I want to thank you for providing freedom for me." He looked at me, a tear welled up in his eye, and he said, "Thank you, son. I don't ever get that." Let me explain. How sad has our country gotten we don't recognize what a hero is? How sad has it gotten in our country where we don't recognize that Brother Kataiver is a hero? He's not just a church member. He's a hero. And I know he doesn't like this kind of stuff, but I don't care, brother. He fights for me. He fights for me. I don't take that lightly. I don't take it lightly that Brother Bill Lang fought for me. I don't take it lightly that Brother Carl McDaniel fought for me. Brother Cy Yerke fought for me. I don't take that lightly. There's nothing I wouldn't do for these men. Nothing. There's nothing I could ever repay for what they've done for me. How much more then should we want to help and pray for and serve our Redeemer? What has he done for you? Come, somebody say amen. What has he done for you? Oh God, why are you doing this to me? Let me tell you something. He went to the cross for you. It should be, what can I do for you? What can you do through me, not what you're doing to me? Somebody say amen this morning. Don't make me come back there and smack you. I want you to see verse 4 one more time before I move on. Verse 4 says, then the king, not just the king though, then the king and how many? All the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. It was everybody. Nobody was excluded. Not because anybody was excluded, because everybody wanted to be there. No, you need to hear that now. Everybody wanted to be there. Get rid of your rotten attitude. Hey, Christian, you're in a great church. Get rid of your rotten attitude and realize that something great's going on here. Get rid of the attitude and realize this altar isn't just for the preachers. This altar's for everybody. As a matter of fact, everybody realized that back in that day, and it was too many sacrifices. They had to move it outside. Hey, wouldn't it be great? Oh my goodness, wouldn't it be great, men, if you came to us and said, "Preacher, we don't have enough offering plates." Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not talking just about money, though. How about showing up? And we're a good working church. Don't misread me. I'm telling you right now, we are in the best shape we've been in ever. I'm not kidding you. More people that want to work now than we've ever had before. People that want to get involved, want to do something for God. Let me tell you something. Don't stop now. Let's get more after it. Let me tell you something. 25 people out for soul winning the week before, it was almost 40. That's never happened since I've been here. Somebody say amen. Let me tell you something. We've got more of a burden now than we've had in years. Don't stop now, Christian. Don't stop now. Come and get involved. You say, "Well, I've missed out on the first few weeks." So what? Come now. Brother Dave, you're going to keep harping on soul winning? That's our job. That's the only thing we're asked to do. Man, that's good preaching. I'll amen myself. Amen. Verse 8, also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. Why? Because one day just wasn't enough. I would to God that 1 hour wasn't enough for you. Come on, think with me, people. I would to God that one day wasn't enough of church for you. I would to God that you wouldn't just sit there and count the hours and count the minutes until we're done preaching. Yeah. I would to God that you'd come here with an attitude of soaking up what God has. Right. Hey, listen, I'm a preacher. I am God's man. Yes. Now, he's God's man for this church. Don't misread me. He's the shepherd. But understand this. I am a man of God. I don't just sit for 5 minutes before I come over here. I'm not telling you this so you feel bad for me. I'm telling you, when you come, why don't you pray for me before you get here? Amen. Pray for me and say, "You know what, I need something. I hope Brother Dave's got something." Amen. pray that, and when you come, you might not be so upset when I go 45 minutes. Somebody say amen. They said, listen to me. They said, we kept the feast 7 days because one just wasn't enough. They saw the fire of God came down and said, oh God, Brother Katara, I don't want church to end. I don't want this to end. The fire of God came down. Let me see it. Let me keep seeing it. Glory to God, maybe you've never seen it. I'm not talking about true bonfire in your church. But when's the fire of God ever gotten in here for you? Come on now. When has it gotten inside of here? We haven't even gotten to this verse yet, have we? Do you see what's going on? One of the greatest days Israel's ever seen is happening right now. Look what this says. And also at the time Solomon kept the feast 7 days and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath into the river of Egypt. That's a pretty good sized church. Amen? Millions. This wasn't 50. This is millions. Look what this says. And in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days. It took them that long to sacrifice all that stuff. And the feast 7 days. I bet you it was a feast. Glory to God. Steak. Oh, man. Woo. Filet mignon. Israel style. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents. How were they? How did they leave church? Glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon, and to Israel, his people. When's the last time you left church glad? And I'm not talking about glad that it was over. Hey, listen, we are in a great church. But sometimes we got to check out what our heart feels. Amen? What's this got to do with the 4th of July? Nothing. But I want you to see what this verse says. We use it a lot. I think it's a little bit more personal than how we use it, though. Look what this says. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, this is after the church service is over, amen? Come on, say amen. You're with me, right? Look at this. This is after the church service is over. The Lord comes to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. Man, that would be great, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be great to sit there and pray to God? Oh, God, give us that church building. Have him answer back. Brother Dave, I heard your prayer. Wouldn't that be neat? Man, it'd want to make you do it again, wouldn't it? It would make you want to do it again, wouldn't it? Can I help you, Christian? He hears you. Come on now. He hears you. Look what this says. I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Look at now. If you go back to what Solomon had prayed, the answer is right here. See, these couple of verses that God gives you are an answer to what Solomon asked. Solomon asked before, he said, I know this is a great day. I know this is a wonderful day. I know we're about to have a revival here. I know it's about to be exciting. But if my people mess up, oh God, let them come to church. If my people sin against thee and do things against thee, if my nation that I'm leading go against thee, oh God, let me direct their attention to church. Let them come and pray. And Lord, if they seek you out, oh God, please take your hand of destruction off of them. Take your hand of wrath off of them and bless them again. Solomon knew we were sinners. And by the way, he mentions that for all our sinners. He mentions that. The great thing about being in church is you know where you're sitting. You're sitting in a group of sinners right now, getting preached at by a sinner. Maybe the chiefest. Let me explain something to you. The great thing I like about church is everybody's pulling the same rope. If you get right down to it, there's nobody in here holier than anybody else, because none of us in here are holy. We're holy in God's sight because His Son did it all. But you got to understand something. That should make you glad. That shouldn't make you depressed. That shouldn't make you discouraged. That should make you encouraged, because God wants you. You dirty, rotten sinner. God wants you. I can't imagine that, preacher, that he would look down at me when I was 15, 16, after I got saved. Look down at me knowing I'm a drunkard and say, I'm going to use him someday. Come on, somebody say amen. I don't care where your life has been. I don't care where your life is going. I don't care where your life is going right now. God wants to use you. Amen. Come forward to the altar sometime and realize that there's a sacrifice that is to be made. Because understand this, Christian life is a sacrifice. But it's the greatest sacrifice you'll ever make. The greatest thing you can ever do is become, I'm talking about becoming a Christian. I'm not talking about getting saved. It's amazing how different saved people are from Christians. Oh, you become a Christian. Don't misread me. But are you living that life as a Christian? I mean a desire, a deep desire, and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for those things of God. Willing to shut your TV off. Willing to turn off the computer. I heard a statistic. I can't prove it. I don't really care to. The new number one cause of divorce in America right now is Facebook. You know what's funny? I have people come up to me all the time saying, there's nothing wrong with Facebook. Ain't nothing right with it either. Come on now. Preacher, I'm getting sick and tired of you preaching against stuff I do. Well, I tell you what, quit doing it. Lester Roloff always used to say, hey, why in the world are you going this way and bumping heads with everybody? And Lester Roloff said, I tell you what, turn around and come with me and we won't bump heads. You must understand something. I've watched Facebook tear up lives. I've watched Facebook tear up people. Don't you tell me it can't see. Not everybody knows what the preacher knows. I don't know what he knows. I'm glad I don't. I stayed out of that business. I'm just the associate pastor. And let me explain something to you. I don't want to know everything that happens because I'm telling you, it's terrifying to preachers anymore to watch what their people are willing to do. Why is this verse here? Hear me, Christian. Why is this verse here? Look at this now. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, you're God's people. You're God's people. You're God's people. And if God sends these things among you, it's because of what we're doing or what we're not doing at times. Not every time, but at times. But the answer, no matter what time it is or no matter what kind it is, the answer, my friend, is in the next verse. If these things happen, if I decide to do something as God, and by the way, he never makes mistakes and he's good all the time. If my people, are you his people? I just called you that name. If my people, which are called by my name, you're Christians. You take the label of Christians. You say, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. If my people, which are called by my name, is that you? Is your phone ringing? He's calling. Is your phone ringing? If it's ringing, pick it up. Don't ignore the call. God's calling. And it's not going to be collect. Look at what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Christian, that's where it starts. I don't care. You can say whatever you want to say. Every single thing starts with humility. I really believe that. Shall humble themselves. God said it. It must be true. Amen? I'm not preaching now. I'm telling you the truth. That's funny. You missed it. I'm sorry. It takes a humble man to come here. Huh? It takes a humble man to give up his time. It takes a humble man to offer sacrifice because he's admitting that there's one greater than he. When you do not humble yourself, do you know what you're saying? There's none greater than you. Can I ask you a question? The Bible says, all your righteousnesses. Not all your righteousness. He pluralizes it for you just to make sure none slip by. all our righteousnesses are as what? Can I ask you something, Christian? Whose righteousness would you like to use? Would you like to use yours or his? I think I'd pick his too. And if you're going to pick his righteousness, you must understand that you must humble yourself. Now, what else does it say? This is an intriguing verse to me. Knowing what's going on, he just had the best day of his life. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that the smoke came down inside of that place so thick that the priest couldn't even go inside. The glory of God filled that place so much that the priest couldn't even go inside because the glory of God was in it. Because the glory of God was so great, they could not go in. Look at what this says now. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And when you're praying, what should you do? Seek my face. See, there's things that we have to do, and it starts with humility. We have to realize in America today that we cannot do it on our own. I knew you'd get patriotic in a minute, preacher. I'm coming. America was founded on God. I'm sure we'll hear a lot about that from your preacher this morning. But you must understand something. America was founded on God. We can try to take that out of our history, but it doesn't take away the fact that we were founded on God. It doesn't take away the fact. We can take it out of the textbook, Brother Sales. We can try to teach our children that God really didn't start our nation. We can have a president right now that's willing to be blasphemous enough to go ahead and say that our nation wasn't started on God. Our nation's not a Christian nation. And by the way, he may not be too far off base because we're losing a lot of Christians. We're getting a lot of religious folk, but we're losing a lot of Christians. Somebody say amen. Let me explain something to you right now. If my people, which are called by my name, if the Christians will humble themselves. Sad day when a Christian won't humble themselves. Sad day when a saved person doesn't realize how great God is. Sad day when we think that we're better than God and we're above him. Somebody say amen. I'm going to tell you right now, if we can't get to the altar, who's going? Come on, help me now. Who's going to come here and pray for our nation if it's not you? He said, if my people which are called by my name, he don't want the Catholics to come. They're not Christians. Not all of them. There's some saved folks that are. I'm not discounting that. But let me explain something to you, folks. If you're saved in here today, who's going to go to the altar if it isn't you? Who's going to pray if it isn't you? Who's going to seek his face if it isn't you? How are we going to turn our nation around? See, I'm not sold to the fact, Brother Sells, that America's done. I'm not. I hear preachers all the time, we can't have revival, we're in the last days. That's the best time to have revival is the last days. Glory to God, it's not time for Hail and Mary. It's time for going ahead and preaching the word of God. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering. It's time to step on the gas, not live in the past. It's time to go forward. You want to come out and do something for God, change our nation? Humble yourself, pray, seek his face. I might get excited this morning. I want America back. Amen. And it's not because somebody stole it. Amen. It's because we sold it. Yeah. It's not because nobody stole America. We gave it to them. Right. Listen to me now. This nation was founded on God. God separated us to do something great for him. And by the way, we did. The problem is, can we still? This verse doesn't give me a timeline. Can anybody say amen this morning? I wanted to get to this verse because I wanted you to see a great revival came. A great wonderful thing came. And we've had revivals. We've had these things. We had Brother Billy Sunday in his wonderful big tabernacle and preaching to thousands and thousands and 500, almost 6,000 people got saved. We had those days. But this says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then, glory to God for the word then will I hear from heaven. Why aren't my prayers being answered, preacher? Why aren't my prayers being heard? Have you humbled yourself? Have you prayed? Have you sought His face? We're not going to get an America that you're proud of until you do those things. See, this was in the midst of great revival, and Solomon was wise enough to see in the future that my people are going to mess up. He was wise enough to get God to give him a contingency plan. He was wise enough to ask God, listen, if they will just turn, oh God, if they will just turn, if they will just turn and seek your face, will you promise me that you'll hear from heaven? Will you promise me that you'll forgive their sin? Will you promise me, God, that not only will you, because they're going to do it. I know they're going to do it. I know it was a great day. I know that they saw great things. I know that they saw great revival. But Brother Cantaver, he said, Lord, when we mess up, will you hear us? When we mess up, will you help us? When we mess up, will you heal us? Glory to God, there's one thing I know. America needs healing today. And if we need healing, we do what that says. God has promised He will heal our land. Can it start with you? Come on now, can it start with you? Can you decide to humble yourself and pray and seek His face? Don't tell me it doesn't start with you. How many people were there? Everybody. But everybody can't be there if you don't show up. Somebody say amen. We need everybody to do this. We need everybody. If we want to get back to the America that we're proud of, let me tell you something. I love my country. Love it. I'm not proud of a lot of the things that it does. But I love my country, and you couldn't get me to be anywhere else. Yeah. I'm telling you, I'll fly that flag proudly. I'll wave it in the air as much as I possibly can. Don't you dare do anything to desecrate it in front of this preacher. Don't you dare do that. I'm 41 years old. I still got a lot in me. I'll punch you in the mouth. Yeah. Well, that's not good preaching. That's all right. That's all right. Burn the flag in front of me. I want you to. Burn it, because I'm telling you, you're going to go to the hospital and wish you hadn't. I got spit in me now. I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I love America. And America has seen the greatest days we have ever seen not too long ago during all these great revivals. Christian, we can have it again. I would to God preachers will quit living in the past and start doing something right now. Because if we will humble ourselves and we will pray and we will seek His face, God has promised us something. He's promised us He'll hear. Thank you, Solomon. Thank you, Solomon, for putting that in front of us. Thank you, Solomon, for making God give us that promise that we seek His face, turn from our wicked ways. He will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. Hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. I love that verse, one of my favorite verses in all the scripture, but you must understand it was there during one of the greatest times ever. Solomon knew. I know, but that doesn't mean God can't do something great now. He's promised He would. Let's do our best to do what this verse is telling us, and God will do something. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for the opportunity. Lord, I thank You for a great people, Your people. We're called by Your name. Lord, I pray that we will humble ourselves. I pray that we will learn to seek Your face. I pray that we will learn to turn from our wicked ways, realizing our ways are wicked. Some of us don't even realize we're doing things that are wrong. Lord God, I would that we would seek Your face enough to realize that we're doing wicked things. Lord, I pray that we would pray enough to realize that we got to seek Your face. Oh God, help us to realize our condition. And then You'll hear us. You'll hear us, You've promised. You'll hear us. You'll forgive our sin. And Lord God, You'll heal our land. Lord God, I want that healing of this land. I believe America's got another revival in her. I believe that. I believe we've got enough people that care about You. I believe we've got enough Christians in this old United States of America to do something great again, but it's going to start with the individual. It's going to start with every one of us. Lord, please help us to get that done today. Lord, bless America. I'm asking You and begging You to bless America like You've done all these years. Continue to bless America in a special way. And I pray these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.